G'day there, folks. Paul here, signing back in as we continue our study series, Snapshots in the Writings of Luke. Thanks for joining with me. And today we are going to wrap up Luke chapter 6. This is the third video in one, two, three parts on the Sermon on the Plain. Now, in the previous video, we left off after reading from verse 37, judge not and you shall not be judged, condemn not and you shall not be condemned, forgive and you'll be forgiven, and so on. And summarizing very quickly, of course, also taking from Matthew chapter 7, where we see this as well, don't judge, because that measure by which you judge, it will come back to you. And the point is really simple. It is, be discerning. Be discerning without condemnation. Show mercy. Let that be your default, because Christ's mercy and God's mercy, it is the whole reason why we are here. It's the reason why we are still breathing. At the moment in my also personal study, I'm going back through Genesis, and I've just finished with Noah and the ark and the flood. And because of that incredible mercy of God, rather than wipe out all, we are still here. Yes, we are still here. And is not mercy, is not love the whole reason, the whole, you know, point why Jesus came, that we might have forgiveness? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes. And so this video here now continues on from that. If you haven't seen parts one and two in this, the Sermon on the Plain, please take a moment, go back, have a quick look. But let's wrap it up. And Jesus is now going to continue this theme of love, this theme of mercy. And we'll pick it up from verse 39 of Luke chapter 6. He spoke a parable to them. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. I might just suggest, if you haven't yet and you don't mind, underline that verse, verse 40 in your Bible. 41, he says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not see or perceive the plank in your own eye? There's a truth. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove that speck in your eye, when you yourself cannot even see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. And I made a note that, and this is from personal experience, I've done it, and I see it now also in others. A lot of judgment, you know, I rebuke you. You shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. A lot of that comes not from a place of mercy, but actually from a place of self-righteousness, often reflecting the thing that we are dealing with in ourselves or we have dealt with. Hey, why can't you? But we see that speck and yet don't see these other things. So we see here in verse 39 and through to 42, we see two different pictures. We see the blind leading the blind, and then the speck and the plank. The point is simply this. How can we help others if we're not clearly even seeing within ourselves? And the key verse there in verse 40, which I suggested you underline, is a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And that's the heart of it. That's the whole point of what we see here. Discipleship, Bible-based discipleship, different to modern church discipleship. That's a topic for another time. But Bible-based discipleship is training. Training in righteousness. As we are told in Scripture, that the Word of God is good for, what, a whole bunch of different things. Rebuke and what? Encouragement, yes, and instruction in what? Righteousness. The thing is, we don't become like Jesus as we are called now to become his children. We become like him as we sit under his words. We let him correct us, and then we practice obedience. I gave the example one time of adoption. When a child is adopted into that family, it is expected that the child take on the belief systems, the characteristics, the mannerisms of the family that he or she has been adopted into. Same here. We now adopted by the blood of Christ into the family, and the spirit of adoption by which we now cry out, the word says, Abba, Father, that Hebrew word, beautiful. And so the lesson that we see from here is that before we rush in to fix somebody else, Jesus says, let me train you first. Deal honestly. Brother, deal honestly with your own heart. Then you'll be able to help your brother with gentleness, with clarity, and with, here's this word again, love. In verse 43, once Jesus has trained us up to see clearly, to deal honestly then within our own hearts, the evidence, well, it just shows up. And it shows up naturally. And that's why he then goes to a tree known by its fruit. He says, verse 43, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, and here's the key, this is what unlocks this parable. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And for me, this is the core of the teaching. It's because I wanted to spend a moment on this that we extended these sections through three different videos. Jesus says here, let me read it. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit. In simple terms, don't be fooled by appearances. A person can look good on the outside for a while, but fruit tells the truth, and sometimes, always, this fruit is revealed with time. So we've got some fruit trees out there growing at the moment, and as they're very, very young and actually starting to bear some fruit, and the fruit doesn't yet look like what it should be, there's illustration there that Jesus calls on here in this society that makes it understandable. And then we see it digging, you know, Jesus doubles down and makes it even more personal. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And I look at this, and this means for me that my words, my reactions, my tone, especially when I'm under pressure, they reveal what I'm storing inside. Do you remember the analogy of the orange? It doesn't matter how it's crushed, cut, or squashed. What comes out? Orange juice. Why? Because that's what's inside. And this is what we're talking about here. But here's the hope. Here's the hope. It's in Christ. Not in our flesh, not in our past, not in our hurts, not in our pressures, not in the people who are around us. It's in Christ. That's where our hope is. God doesn't just sort of ask for and expect these impossible demands of a new life. No, he doesn't just ask this of us for better behavior. He gives it to us in what? You've heard the phrase, the new creation. In Christ. If anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5. This is now us. And because it's true, because that is true, Scripture calls us then to live consistently with what we now are, not what we once were. Ephesians 4, put off the old man. Be renewed. Put on the new man in true righteousness and holiness. In Romans 6, we are reminded that we've been raised to walk in newness of life. This is how I know this is possible. So the issue really isn't, can I sound spiritual? No, the issue is there real fruit growing from a changed heart? And that's why James, I think, actually gives us a very sober reality check. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. If it does not have fruit, good fruit from a good heart, it is dead. Not works to earn salvation, not fruit to earn salvation, but fruit as the evidence that the salvation is real. This is crucial to understand. And of course, that then naturally leads into, we wrap up Luke chapter 6, this next point. If the fruit reveals the tree, the storms reveal the foundation. And so the final question comes down to what we read now. What are we building our lives on? So listen to this challenge. Verse 46, why do you call me Lord, 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 but don't do the things which I say? I'm just going to leave that one there. Why do you call him Lord, but don't do what he says? Whoever comes to me, verse 47, and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. When the flood rose, when the storms came, the stream beat vehemently against that house. It couldn't shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built his house on earth, like the sand, without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently. When the storms came, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So Jesus finishes here, as we do also, with a picture. He says the person who comes to him, who hears the word, it's why all the way back, let's see my notes, where was it? Verse 27, but I say to you who hear, listen folks, he who has ears to hear, hear. Those who come to him hear his word and does it. That is the man building a house, digs deep, lays a foundation on solid rock. The storms come, the flood comes, the house stands. Why? Because it was founded on rock. Him. But the person who does not hear and does not do is like someone who builds on the ground without foundation. Now, it may look good for a while, but then when the storm comes, Jesus says that ruin is great. Oh, brother, don't let this be you. Don't let this be you. Take a moment to listen. Take a moment to hear. Take a moment to pray. This is not just, have I heard? No, am I building my life on him by obeying him? That is the question. Storms don't create character. I know that in analogy and picture we say that they do, but what they actually do is they reveal the foundation on whom we are built. And Scripture shows us time and time and time again, clearly, he is that sure foundation, the rock on which we stand. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.